Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted,
the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
This is Graham McTavish, and you are listening to Ginger and Summer on the Outlander podcast.
Welcome to episode 101 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So announcements this week. We got one new picture on the Outlander Instagram account, which is a scene. It looks like it's from like episode 109.
I think so. I didn't look in the bottom left corner before. I just saw the hill.
Yeah.
But... And we were there.
We were there.
But yeah, so now that you say that, I see in the bottom left corner, they're walking towards him, and it's Jamie. So it has to be...
Isn't that 109?
Yeah.
No!
Well, no, sorry.
It's the witch trial, which was...
112.
112.
No, wait, 11 or 12?
Dude, 12? I'm done. I don't know.
12? 12 was Ollie Brock, so it must have been 111.
111. I was just going to say it was episode Devil's Mark.
There you go. By Toni Graffia.
There you go.
We have an interview with her. It's quite...
Echoey. But it's a great shot, and it for us, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just speaking for myself. I said us, but I'm going to speak for myself. It brings back a lot of memories of being in Scotland, and makes me happy to look at.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, the snow on...
Yeah, there was no snow on that hill.
We didn't see that snow, but...
There was snow on some of the hills, but they were really, really high peaks, and we didn't get really close to any of them. We also got a new cast member this week, and it's a vital cast member.
It's the Adam to our Eve. Alex to our Mary Hawkins.
This is true. And as I think Stars so succinctly put it, it's the Randall you don't need to run away from.
Yeah, very good.
And seriously, the casting of this character is nothing short of amazing. Like, I know there were some people who were like, oh, it would have been so cool if Tobias had played all three of the characters. And they were like, oh, I'm disappointed. And I was like, I'm not. Look at him.
See, okay. Would it have been neat if Tobias had done all three? I mean, of course, we love Tobias. We want to see him in everything, especially in that wig. I'm sorry.
She wants to see him in that wig.
Well, we did. We saw plenty of him in that wig and out of everything, in nothing but the wig.
We saw plenty of him that didn't show a wig.
So we can say, oh, that would be great, more Tobias. The cool thing is, because they didn't use Tobias, they were able to show their... I mean, they have to be award-winning to show their amazing skill at casting by casting someone so amazingly similar to him in voice, in look, in jawline.
It's straight up creepy. His eyes, just like, ugh, all of it. Like, they did, this was a really good job. I'm actually terrified by how good of a job they did casting.
Oh my gosh.
But it was funny because I looked at the picture and then somebody had posted up a link to something he'd done previously. It was like something about kittens. Some video I found online about kittens where they were playing, like, yeah, I think so.
I think I saw that.
It was like they were pulling kittens out of a bag or something. I don't remember. But I just kind of, you know, looked at him across the screen. I wasn't really paying much attention. And then he started talking. And I was like, oh my God, it sounds just like Tobias. It sounded just like Tobias. So, good job, casting. We found out this week that Mary's Meanders was featured in the Edinburgh Evening News. Was very exciting. They had an article in the paper entitled TV Dinner at Hotel Offers True Flavor of Outlander.
And that was not just Mary's Meanders, but specifically their Taste of Outlander series.
Absolutely.
So we're very happy for them that they were written up. That sounds bad, but presented in this way in this
periodical. This is the only write-up you'll ever get that's good. Because if you get a write-up in any other part of your life, you're usually in trouble. And that is announcements for the week. We have a pretty interesting episode coming along. We have two segments to this episode. First off, we would like to share with you an interview with an official Outlander licensee. We have joining us both the owner and the marketing director of Abbeyshot,
who may or may not mention something about tartan. We are thrilled to be able to welcome the owner and director of sales and marketing of the fabulous Abbeyshot storefront, official Outlander licensees, to the Outlander podcast. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
But let's not forget, Joe also told us he's the Geek Whisperer.
Yes, and actually I was going to go back and say, we are speaking with Bonnie Edgecombe, the owner of Abby Shot, as well as Joe Delbridge, as Summer said, the Geek Whisperer, also known as the Sales and Marketing Director of Abby Shot. Oh my God,
please tell me you have like business cards say the Geek Whisperer, because that's like my favorite thing so far.
Yep, I do.
You do? Oh, that is too awesome. That's too awesome.
But my title is, of course, since Joe has the Geek Whisperer, my title is CEO, but I am the creator of exciting opportunities.
You know what? Oh. That's a way better CEO than like the regular CEO. So
that I'm a little bit jealous.
We all have creative titles at Abby Shot.
I like the way. Well, seeing as
oh my gosh, are you guys hiring?
Well, seeing as
I
how
coming up with fun titles.
Seeing as how you guys sell merchandise for these different fandoms, for these different universes, and so much in the sci-fi realm. Man, I can kind of see the vibe. The Geek Whisperer, the creator of, what was it, Opportunities?
Exciting Opportunities.
Exciting Opportunities. I mean, that's probably one of the best titles ever.
It's fun. And, you know, at Abby Shot, we are blessed with our work every day because we get to help people tap into their inner heroes and by dressing in some of the clothing that are from their favorite character. So it's the coolest job ever, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, it is.
And that's what we're here to talk about. We're so excited to get, and we will get to that, but first we want to give you a chance to talk about Abby Shot. What is it? How did it start? Tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, my company began almost 13 years ago now, and I actually ran a home-based sewing business for 20 years in my home so that I could stay home with my children while they were growing up and going through school. And I started a little sewing line, and it grew into quite a lucrative little business for me, sewing for all the performance groups and choral groups in our town here, our city. And then an opportunity came along for me to make a coat that was in the movies, just to make a recreation of it, and I did, and a little concept began, and from there Abby Shot was born. And 13 years later we have licensing agreements with different organizations and corporations, and we're just having so much fun all the time. It's a great creative outlet. I have a daughter working in the business who really loves design and fashion, and really she adds a lot of value. We have a great team of staff that really are allowed to work in their own areas. They all are encouraged to be leaders in their own lives, and they're encouraged to work individually. It's just allowing them to reach out to their greatest potential. It's wonderful work. We're really enjoying it.
So what is the origins of the name Abby Shot? Because there's got to be a story behind that.
There's a great story behind it, actually. there was a movie producer named Abby Singer many years ago who, when he was filming, he would say to his team, okay, this is going to be the last shot for the day now, so let's start packing up. And so the staff would start packing up, the team would start packing everything up and getting ready to shift out, and then suddenly he'd say, no, that last one didn't work, so we're going to have to do it again. So in the industry, it became known as the Abby Shot, because sure as anything, that was going to have to happen. They'd reshoot that last scene and have to unpack all their goods. So it became known as the Abby Shot. So we figured we were getting a second last shot at the coats that were in the movies. And given that it was film, then, you know, that was really appropriate. And I have to tell you that one day we got an email, all written in lowercase, from somebody who said, my name is Abby Singer. You named your company after me. And I thought, one of my staff said, oh, don't answer that, Bonnie. That's just going to be some child that wrote us, maybe. And I got curious, and about a week later I said, no, I'm going to call this phone number that's in the email. So I called, and an elderly gentleman answered the phone, and I said, hello, would Abby Singer be there, please? And he said, this is he. And I said, this is Bonnie Cook calling from Abby Shot Clothiers. And he said, you called your company after me, and I sent you an email. He was 92.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had a great conversation with him, and I really, he was so proud of us having named the company and how we did that. It was, I had a great chat with him. It was wonderful.
Now, I've perused your website quite recently, and I'm not going to lie, almost every fandom you have clothing provided for is something I geek out about on a regular basis. I'm like, I don't even know how you choose it, but it's like you got in my head and we're like, Summer might like this.
That's actually, I'm glad Summer said that. That's a very good question. Now, obviously you cannot spread yourself so thin that you do everything. You couldn't keep up with that. How do you select which fandoms you want to enter the space of?
Well, our customers are very close to us, and they feed us. They come to us and say, we have to have this product. And we have groups of customers who will gather information for us and guide us in the right direction of what to be choosing. Plus, of course, we get lots of requests all the time. There are different requests from customers who are just willing to do anything to gather enough people to be buying the product just so they can get their one coat. And so that tells us, you know, all the popularity comes from there. And, of course, Joe is really, really good at capturing all kinds of information about the popularity of which ones that, you know, we are considering. Because it's a big investment for us to get involved in one particular license. But there's lots of information available to help guide us to the right ones, for sure.
So was it on your own that you were kind of led to or heard about, wanted to get involved with Outlander? Or was that something that also started kind of from a grassroots from your fans, from your customers?
It wasn't from our fans in the very beginning. We were approached by the people who had the property to see if we were interested in doing it, because it seems that we're known as one of the ones that's really good at doing the replica pieces. Because we pay a lot of attention to detail, we won't stop until we can get it as close as we possibly can to the exact replica. So we were approached about it, and then we said, well, before we do this, let's go out to our customers and find out how many people are interested in this. And we had a great response. There's so many fans in the Outlander series, and I'm one of the biggest ones.
Yay! We're so happy!
One of us!
Yes, for sure. Wait till you see some of the pieces we're going to be coming out with.
I can't even stand it. I'm so excited.
We want to do nothing but see what you're going to be coming out with. And we know that we have to wait like everybody else. But is there something you can either tell us a little bit about what's going to come out, or some hints that you can give us to not just, you know, whet our appetites, but to let people know that, you know, stuff is coming out, you're going to love it, and as you said, you guys work until you get it perfect, until it can be as detailed and as much of a replica as it can be.
Well, we have a lot of pieces that we're working on, of course. There's this whole section of knitted goods that we're doing, and we're getting as close to the actuals as possible. So there are lots of people knitting pieces online, and they're doing a beautiful job. I have great respect for home knitters, and we have some people knitting by hand for us here in Newfoundland, actually. So those pieces are going to be from a certain line as well. So those are going to be beautiful. Some of the pieces that she wore, they just fit into our today's clothing and the things. So as soon as the season rolls around again, these are going to be ready to hit the market, and they're going to be very popular because they're current. Even though they come from the 1700s and what she was wearing, the arm warmers and the neck cowls and everything, chunky wool, they're just so beautiful. So we can't wait to get those out to people so that you can see what we're going to be offering. Those are going to be super popular. I know it. We're working with some of the beautiful tartans and wools that are going to be able to be used as not only shawls and scarves and things, but you could use them decoratively in your home across the back of a chair, and it just brings that whole feeling of the Outlander right into your home and reminds you. I mean, who doesn't want a reminder of Jamie in their house?
I don't know who wouldn't.
I don't know anyone. Everyone I know wants a reminder.
Everyone I know wants Jamie. I mean, wants a reminder of Jamie.
Exactly. So we've got lots of beautiful pieces that we're working on. You know, there's going to be some lovely things coming through.
So is it a lot of knitwear? That's what I'm taking from this, like a lot of like the knitting. There's been a giant leap in like Etsy stores with knitwear, what's being requested and desired. So I think that's a huge market right now for the knitwear. Because I'm an knitter, but I would not consider myself knitworthy enough to create something like a cowl and or the arm warmers. I kind of like go, no, it's not square. If it's square, I can knit it. If not, I'm done.
I think the pieces are going to be beautiful when they're all put together. And it's just the feeling of the story, the whole, if you've watched the series, you know, you really, it gets in your heart, doesn't it? This whole
Absolutely.
Show. So, you know, we feel like we're bringing that right to you. So that you can feel that character, and I don't know, it's just, I can't wait. We're waiting on our wools, our plaids, the tartan fabrics to come in now and see some of the goods, and we just cannot wait. We're going to be offering there's five different tartans in the show. I will tell you that I sent two of my staff to exactly where all the costuming was in Scotland. It was a trip of their lifetime.
Aww. You should have called us. We would have gone.
We were just there a couple weeks ago.
We were just there. We could have taken on that hardship for you.
Joe, I'm going to get a few resumes this week. Joe, what do you think?
I'm just saying, it depends on what you require from your employees, but I'm fairly sure that enthusiasm, if you need it, it's what we've got.
I can tell already there. It's definitely there. So they got to lay out a lot of the garments that we had requested prior to visiting over there, and touch and feel all the fabrics and see how they drape and hang and just, you know, put around your body. They just came back saying, Bonnie, this was beautiful. This tam was phenomenal. The scarves and shawls were just so draping all around. And you can tell by looking at them in the show how a piece of fabric hangs, and you can tell that it's beautiful quality. And that's what we're working with. This is not going to be made from cheap fabrics and things. We're going for the much higher end, and they're really going to be something beautiful. That is going to be a collector's item for you for sure from the show. And as I said, we're going to be doing, eventually we will be offering five of the tartans, so the ones that are coming out. Initially, it's going to be the Outlander tartan, which was woven as only a specific design for the show. I guess you're aware of that, are you?
We're a little bit aware.
We're a little obsessed. We admit it. I mean, we started a podcast a year before there was a show. So, I mean, we've been reading the book since the late 90s. So this story has stayed with us for quite a while.
Yes, yeah. So you'll love all the fabrics and that are going to be coming. And we're coming up with some beautiful pieces, I have to say.
So do I understand correctly that you're going to start with the Outlander Commission tartan, but that you will eventually have all five tartans from the show?
That's our plan. We're hoping for that. We've got some Mackenzie pieces coming out. Because let's face it, he's a pretty hot guy too, you know.
Dang. Yes, he is. Sorry, yes, I just had to like totally monitor myself. I almost cursed. But yes, he is very, very good looking.
Yes, so we're having some of that come in as well. And as the show progresses, you know, you get to know you recognize the tartans from the different groups of people in there. So it's going to be beautiful.
You mentioned as the season returns in season two. So are you looking at spring 2016 for a launch?
No, we'll be out way before that. We should have something perhaps, I'm going to tell you, in a month.
Ooh, nice. So in a month is just before my birthday, so I know what I will be asking for.
Please, I got you like, what, those hand warmers
but
like
they're last not year? Outlander.
They're not. They're not. They're not. They were in Etsy store.
As much as you are able to tell us, this licensing agreement, is it with certain limitations to season one, or is it with the franchise?
It's for the whole show, from what I understand. Okay. It's for the whole show, so we'll be going right through. There's some, I understand there might be some changes to the designs that she's wearing, so because there's different places that the story is taking place. So we haven't seen any of those pieces yet, but we'll be going back to Scotland as well to see things.
goodness. Yeah. So if they, for example, they've already, not a spoiler, they've already mentioned they're going to be going to France and the French court. Is that something you might be willing to look at if the demand is there?
Definitely.
Oh my gosh, you're rocking my world. I don't know what else to ask because you're just blowing my mind.
So like corsets and bustles, is this something you're considering creating?
Corsets and buckles are very labor intensive for producing. So we're not sure. Only it seems that in order for us to develop a product, it takes days and days and days and days and days of sketching designs, getting all the technical aspects down so that we can send it to our manufacturers so that they can produce it, having samples coming back and approving the fabrics and the design and the fit. So if we get into corsets, We're not quite sure that we're going to go that far with it, but we will be doing some accessory pieces for her for sure. It depends on what the styles are going to be in the clothing she's wearing and how they might fit into today's world. Because if it's just something that people are going to wear at a costuming event, then it will be a costly adventure for us because we won't be producing as many pieces. But if it's something that can fit into today's world, like I actually still love... In the beginning, do you remember the beautiful blue coat that
I was just about to ask you? Are you making the blue coat? It's a time travel story that started in the 40s.
Stop. Are you making the blue coat?
I heard that. I heard it.
Oh, she told me.
I can't confirm that one at this point, but we're looking
at it. Oh, my God. When you confirm it, please email me personally and let me know.
I'll put you on the list of other people who are asking for it. I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely. That's all we ask.
It's such an awesome
stunning.
Coat.
It's so not stunning. It's beautiful.
My gosh. Oh, my that God, was, that coat.
It was gorgeous.
And how it is what I absolutely love, because the fabric drapes and moves with her as she moves. So it's not made from a cheap, stiff fabric or anything. We have to make it from something really quality. That coat is just beautiful. So we're checking it out now. We have some technical sketches and things made. We just are looking at some prices and things right now.
That coat will sell itself.
Also kind of answers another question that I didn't know I had. I asked about, as the story goes to different places, you said that if the demand is there and if it's not, you know, for, as you said, just something someone would wear to a costume ball or something, then it would potentially be up for grabs. And then you mentioning the coat, which I was going to ask about, is a different time because, of course, the story starts in the 1940s. So you're not limit, your limit is Outlander. Your limit is not 18th century.
That's right.
Awesome. That, I mean, this is rocking my world, I'm telling you. That's amazing. So you mentioned a little bit of the process about locating the item or eyeballing what you're going to do and deciding what you want to try, starting with the sketches and then sending it to the manufacturer and looking at the prototypes, etc. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your process in general? Because you've done this for other fandoms before.
We have. If there's something that we're missing, if we have a group of people who are involved in the product development, sometimes some of our customers, they just want to be part of this whole process. They feel ownership over the whole project when they get involved with us. So we encourage people to get involved with us, you know, and so they will help us to critique it. And sometimes they'll see a sample, sometimes they'll see images of what the collar is actually looking like, and they'll come back to us and say, well, I've just done some screen caps off the movie, and I think you need to have a quarter of an inch more over here, or your top stitching needs to be a little longer over here, or there were three buttons instead of four over there. And so people help us right to that scale. They will stay up all night long doing screen captures and sending them to us. Now, we get images and things, of course, from the property owners, but those are phenomenal in help for us. And even our graphic designer on staff, he's having so much fun developing the hang tags and the paid website and things. Like, it just gets to be so awesome having all this to be working with. It's just wonderful. It just doesn't hurt that I love the show, that's all.
Oh, no, it doesn't hurt at all.
Okay, I haven't read the books, so I'm waiting to... I could go read them, but I'm actually waiting to go through the show as it is. I went to a women in business convention in Orlando last year, and I got off the flight and was put on a bus to get to our hotel, and this lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, but are you the lady from Abby Shop? And I said, yes, I am, actually. And she said, tell me you're doing Outlander. Tell me you're doing Outlander. She said, I've been following your site for a really long time, and I hope you're going to be considering Outlander, because she said, it's going to be very, very popular, and we want that clothing. So pieces of information like that are helping to guide us to the right properties to be making things for.
Now, once the items become available, as they trickle out or as they're published on your site, will they only be available through your site, or will you yourself market or license them to others?
We won't license them to anyone else because we don't have the rights to license them out. We will sell to some stores that want to carry our product. There's no doubt about it. We already have people who are approaching us saying, please, I'd like to be on the roster for carrying some of the Outlander products because I know they're going to be awesome in my store. So there, we will be wholesaling to other stores from our site. We ship all over the world. Right now we're shipping to about 53 different countries, and we have inventory in the U.S. and the U.K. and Canada. So we can ship from three of those locations right now.
So you're very accessible.
We are. Well, we need to be where our customers are, and we need to have the product so they get it quicker and easier, and, you know, people are just, they just want to get it to themselves as fast as they can. So once they place the order, some of our customers, well, we actually have a video of a customer. We reenacted a story of a customer who took the day off work because he was waiting for one of our coats to arrive. And so he was waiting and waiting and watching for the mailman to come up the street. And he said, when he saw the mailman coming, he ran out to the end of his driveway and stood up with his hands raised to get the box put in his hands. And the mailman said, sir, you realize you have no shoes on and there's some snow on the ground, right? He was about getting his coat. So that's the kind of thing that we love to hear from our customers. We love those stories.
I mean, it's not Abby Schott related because I've just recently learned about Abby Schott and Outlander. But I've had that moment where I've ordered something and I learned it was going to be delivered on a specific day. And I told my job, I was like, I'm going home because I'm expecting a package today. So I totally get that. I totally get it. I've been there.
Your customers know the priorities. Let's not kid.
Right, yeah. We once got an email from a lady who said, thanks a lot. My husband doesn't pay any attention to the kids anymore. All he does is go around the house swinging his coat all around everywhere. He's just entertaining them, you know. But she was joking, of course, you know, thanks a lot. But it was fun. We get lots of wonderful emails about how people love our products. We really do, and it's really great.
Part of the process of bringing something to fruition and being able to bring it to your customers is, of course, your manufacturer. Now, where do you have things manufactured in Canada or in the U.S. or in Europe or overseas?
We have some products made in Canada. We have some that's made in the U.K. We're having some things done in Scotland right now, so they're actually coming right from the wools are coming right straight from Scotland.
Oh,
and we have some of our products made offshore. We have wonderful relationships with our manufacturers. They're like family with us. We communicate with them on a daily basis on Skype, and they know how particular we are about quality and everything. So they're glad to give us what it is we want, and so we have great relationships with them.
When items start to become available, do you have any plans for maybe some of the higher profile items, like maybe the coat or the Outlander tartan? Do you have any plans for an online campaign or anything to help engage the Outlander fan?
I think this is the spot where Joe could step in.
Oh, yay!
Oh my God, I almost forgot Joe was there. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
My geek whisperer friend.
Yes. So, yeah, certainly. Definitely. We're working some campaigns for those. Social media is going to be a big driver, I feel, because there's a lot of Outlander fan groups all over the world that we can reach out to. So that's going to be probably one of the main sources for us.
And as part of that, have you considered, you have a reading and willing and waiting audience, whether they know it or not, they are. And once you begin to engage them more and to introduce your products, have you considered as part of that campaign to do any kind of contests or giveaways?
Yes. We don't know exactly what we're going to do yet, but we have several ideas. And being that this is based on literature, You might see something involving that. Some writing contest, perhaps, or people that are involved in literature to some degree.
If there's any way we could help promote in any way, anything and everything.
Perfect. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, and as we've made, I guess, clear now that we've talked about it, as long as Outlander, as long as the show lasts, Abby Schott will last after the, because at some point the show has to end, you know, whether it's 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is. But Abby Schott hopefully will continue to offer these wonderful products. And as long as the show is going, or as long as Abby Schott is going, as long as we're around, we're happy to continue bringing you back for the next season and talking about new things.
Like, legit, when I looked at their site, they were like, Torchwood?
Oh, my gosh.
Doctor Who? It was like...
Firefly.
It was like everything I've ever geeked out over was already available on the site. I'm just saying, these people are... There are people.
I can't...
These are people.
And the fact that you're still there with Firefly stuff after, you know, the very unfortunate and sad ending of Firefly, at least the TV series. I mean, you guys are dedicated.
And we have more Firefly coming.
Oh, shut the front door!
I mean, there's not even more Firefly, and you have more Firefly coming?
Yeah, more coming.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
This is serious. We're talking about Outlander, and you're like...
Just hijacking your show, talking about whatever we talk about.
No, there is no hijacking, because we can always bring it back. The tie-in is the Outlander products, but anything and everything geekery is fair game.
Oh, I know how you feel. That's how I felt when I first got introduced to the company to consider working for them. I looked at their website. Oh, my gosh. Really? This is a job? Like, this is a real job?
Whisper to me.
I mean, look at my title.
I want a little bit more of your geek cred.
Okay. Well, let's see. I have a picture of me when I was 6 years old with a Yoda t-shirt. Actually, it was Yoda underoos.
Awesome.
One of my friends so gladly pointed out recently on Facebook, so what are you doing with a pair of underoos on? And I have to admit, the other day I was in Target, and they had adult men's underoos. They're bringing them back. And I would lie if I said I wasn't a little bit tempted.
That's awesome. I think I had the Superwoman when I was like 8. The underoos. I remember
those. Oh, nice.
Or Supergirl. I don't know what they called it at that point, but... Well, no, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and both. My geek cred runs deep. That's all I'll say.
It does. But I want to know, Bonnie, what made you hire Joe? Was it the underoos?
It was a total geek out. Like, Joe was in another city when I was interviewing him, but I kind of say that I hired knee hoppers. Have you ever been in a job interview and you're just hopping your knee because you're so excited you can't wait to get at that work?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I feel like that's how Joe was. He could not wait to start work. He could not wait. Like, I have to fight with my staff to stop working because they love what they're doing. And they're all hours, they're on the computer. And I'm saying, please, will you please stop working because you need a break? And... they're enjoying what they're doing, and they're tapping into their own powers. They really are. And they love getting everyone else to be able to share in that same feeling. It's true.
I'm looking at Outlander, you know, from a marketing perspective for me. This gives us products that we can get into some mainstream stores that we may not necessarily be able to do with some of the other more distinctive pieces from Doctor Who or the brown coat from Firefly, things like that. This has a certain look to it that would do well in stores, I feel like, that some of the bigger box stores, bigger retailers. So I'm really excited about the doors that Outlander is going to open for us and allow us to build relationships with these bigger companies. We already work with some giants, but we want to work with some of the others as well, some of the retailers, like mainstream retailers, that don't sell cosplay-type merchandise.
Mm. Obviously, the attendees, press, and then the shows and professional... All kinds of people attend the different cons. Well, is it too soon, or will Abby Press? I don't know what that means.
You made that up.
She's already doing it, Bonnie.
I know. I am just doing it.
We use Abby everything sometimes.
Oh my goodness,
it's coming.
Is it too soon, or will Abby Schott have a presence at this year's Comic-Con?
Working on it.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bonnie.
We are working on having a booth there. But it won't be this year. It's possible that Joe will be at the event, but we won't have our products will be there in someone's booth, right, Joe?
Yes.
Yes. So we have a store there, Whimsic Alley, who will be carrying our product there. So, and they have our beautiful purple coats and things, but there won't be Outlander pieces just yet.
Well, that is, it's obviously, you know, it's unfortunate, but things are happening and it takes a while for to bring things up. While Outlander may not be represented by Abby Schott this year at Comic-Con, Summer and I will be there. We would love to meet you. We were very fortunate to get press passes this year, so we will be there from the preview night through whenever we're able to, as long as we're able to last.
Have you been there before?
I went last year, yeah. I was able to go last year. Summer was not. This is her first time.
Yeah, that's press wonderful. Is the best way to go.
It is, yeah. It is very nice. It is very nice. Because you don't have, yeah, you don't have a booth to worry about. You don't have stuff. But you still get to the preview night, and then of course you still wait in line, but you get opportunities for interviews and everything. So we're very excited. We're very, very excited.
It's going to be a wonderful opportunity for you, for sure.
Oh my God, for
Absolutely.
Sure. And I'm going to take a selfie with Joe, and he needs to send it to Bonnie so that she can see that I'm totally serious about how much I want whatever Outlander stuff comes across to be available for purchase.
It's going to, well, you guys have to be our eyes on the ground over there to see what other products are coming out, and so that we can all complement one another, because I believe there's enough business for everyone
Absolutely.
Doing different things for this, and we need to work together, not apart.
Absolutely. We've said this over and above for like the last, I don't know how long, about how much there's room at the Outlander table.
Oh, there's room for everyone.
For
Absolutely.
Everyone. We're all here. We all support each other. And I think it's important to say.
Definitely.
What, as the items come out and are made available, what is the best way for someone who maybe is listening to this interview 6 months from now and they listen to an episode and say, oh, what is that? I want to go learn about this. Is it best to go to your website and just do a search there at that time?
You won't even have to search for it. It'll be right there on the homepage. You'll be able to find out after. Yeah, you'll find Outlander easily.
Excellent. So basically, if they have any questions, your site is very user-friendly. I love that. Can they just contact you through their website if they have specific questions?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And they can check out the FAQ page. It's right there on the menu. So there's a lot of answered questions there. But anything that they don't that doesn't cover, they're welcome to email us through our contact form. Or call us. Our phone number is right there.
Right. Plus, they can also sign up for our newsletter and receive all the updates.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. If we're not on that, we need to get on that, too, because we want to know.
we might have the occasional coupon in there. So
we love coupons. That's nice. So basically, listener, right now, pause the episode. Go to your internet, wherever you are, however you do it. Go to abbyshott.com, sign up for their newsletter, because otherwise, if you wait, you'll forget. Do it now. Sign up for the newsletter so that you can get not only the announcements, but also the beloved coupons once they come out.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm a little sad you're not offering corsets because, you know.
I didn't say definite. The way Claire wore them was just... See, when you take stuff at the corsets, the thing is, you need the corset, you need the undergarments, you need the blouse that she wears underneath it, and... you need a handsome man to pull up, tug on those strings on the back and get all that all settled and fitted properly. It's not a fitting issue with those, but there's a lot of boning and a lot of steel belting in the ones that were made from many years ago. They were actually steel. Today there's like a plastic boning that goes in them, and a little bit more comfortable, I would think, for the women. But there are, corsets are made differently from the time zones that they came from.
So as we look forward to seeing your first of many, hopefully, Outlander items to come, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just that get ready, because I think this show is taking us on a whole romantic journey that I think that we're going to be able to feel it around ourselves. You know, I think that it's just, I can't wait for it to go into the next series for sure. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh,
I'm really glad I'm part of it.
Oh, we're glad you're part of it. And, of course, we feel very fortunate to do what we do and be part of, in what small way we can be part of the fandom as well. And we meet amazing people, other fans, people who are in production, and people such as yourself who are contributing now to this universe. You're becoming part of this Outlander family universe, and it is stupendous, and it's amazing, and it's beautiful, and we hope it's around for a very long time.
Yes, I think it's going to be. We've been doing clothing like this for 13 years, and some of our products still last from the first year that we had the business. Even though a movie or a television series is over, it doesn't mean that the following and the fandom is done, because it's going to be around for a very, very long time.
From your lips to God's ears.
We were at WonderCon just recently, and a lady came up to me, and I said, "Claire, how are you?" And she said, "Know who I am?" And I said, "Of course I do, of course." And a couple of people gathered around then, because they listened to us talking about Outlander. And so we could see the popularity there. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be huge, this whole series. And it's so fun being part of it, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, I like watching the, you know, of course I'm in marketing, so I'm watching the trends, and I can see how fast Outlander has gained in popularity worldwide because of the show. I mean, it was already a popular book series, but just took it to a different level, and it really just blew up quickly.
It did.
As you said, it was already an extremely successful series, but there's, as successful as something is, once you get it to the, not every single American home, but once you get it into the visual medium and it's accessible by people, and it's an 1-hour chunks, although we love, you know, 5-hour episodes, but that is never going to happen. But once it's in people's living rooms and it becomes viral and all the memes that are made, everything, and then, of course, this merchandise, I mean, it is just growing, and it's a snowball, it's an avalanche, and it's just going to continue.
To us, it's not about the money from this, what we're making from this. It's about what we're able to give to the people, because this story gets in your heart, doesn't it? You guys, absolutely. You ladies know that. You're really pumped about it, I can tell. And this story gets in your heart. And for us, we get the opportunity to be able to bring that out just a little bit more by putting something in your actual hands to tie all that together. That's what we love about it.
Yep, that's, and so what I was going to share actually rides with that, follows that quite well. So we are going to be running a contest pretty soon. And if everyone gets on the same page, I've already had one discussion with Sony, and everything's looking good so far. We may have a contest soon where we give a fan the ultimate fan experience, the ultimate Outlander fan experience, meaning that we would fly them to Scotland, and they would get to visit the set and get to see the costumes and meet some people from the show.
Oh, my goodness. Can we just stop right now and say, just make it the Outlander podcast experience? And let us go. I'm just kidding.
Shep, I want to be on this.
That is amazing.
Well, I tried to get somebody to be an extra on the show, but that one didn't go over quite as well.
Well, that would have been sweet. Well, we are so excited. Just from what you've described, we were already excited to speak with you and to learn more about the products and what you just might have in store. But just learning more of it, like I said about 3 or 4 times now, you've rocked our world. And we are so excited to see everything that you put forth. As you said, there is room at the table for everyone, and yourself and other licensees. I think it's going to be, as things start to trickle onto the market, it's just going to be so exciting. And as you said, from a story in your heart to something in your hand that connects with your heart. And I think that's a very touching and wonderful way to put it.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure hearing all the excitement from you that ties into the excitement that we're feeling about this property as well.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah, it's what we're feeling here, yeah.
Yes, you're welcome, and it's completely genuine. We don't put on at all for this. As I said, we've had these stories in our hearts for many years, and to see them brought to screen is truly a dream. We're just glad we're alive in this time. So anything and everything connected to it is all icing.
It is. It's wonderful. Icing is so delicious.
It is. Oh, I do. I like taking a little icing off, too. Well, thank you both so much. Thank you, Bonnie and Joe from Abby Shot, for being with us here on the Outlander podcast. We respect your time, and we've held you longer than we agreed to meet, but we're just so thrilled and tickled to speak with you and learn and hear talk about anything Outlander.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Love, 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 love chatting with people involved in making brilliant, wonderful products that you know we're all going to want.
And you know they're going to be well made.
Well,
you just,
that's
you
why
just
we're not
know
having them
they're
yet.
Gonna be
they're
awesome.
Taking their time.
Oh, my gosh. So, moving on. For the last bit, I should say, or the next bit of our episode, we would like to share with you a little taste of an evening we spent in Glasgow.
In a pub
in Glasgow. While we were abroad. We would like to invite you to listen to and enjoy our Outlander podcast.
All right, we'll speak English then. Well, maybe not English, maybe Scots.
I'm Seamus, nice to meet you. Here we have our first three drams. The first one is the Glengoyne, which is one of our local hooches in Glasgow. It's distilled in the Lennox Hills, so it's just maybe about 12 miles outside Glasgow. It's completely unpeated, which means that when, I don't know if you know about the malting process and all that sort of stuff, a little bit about it. Basically, when the barley is malted, when it's basically it's wet, they wet it. It germinates then, and they stop the germination process by exposing it to smoke, which is usually in Scotland. It's usually peat smoke underneath it. And when they do that in Glengoyne, they use only coal. This gives it a lighter aroma, completely different from almost everything we do here, and it's more like an Irish single malt in that regard. So I guess you want to try it. Would you guys like some water on the table as well? We should probably get some.
I think we should, yeah. Keep the palate clean as well, you know. So the Glengoyne, it's one of the two whiskies that's distilled in this direct area. We've got Auchintoshan, which is just up on the way out of Glasgow when we were heading up towards Loch Lomond, and you would have seen the Auchintoshan distillery on your left. The Glengoyne one is up towards the sort of northwest of Glasgow, so it's between Loch Lomond and Glasgow, and it's just before you get to a place called Killearn. So the Glengoyne distillery just sort of sits out right in the middle of nowhere, and it's surrounded by fields and trees and very, very sort of rural kind of area. And then there's just this distillery stuck right down in the middle of it. So it's very nice place to visit, actually, if you ever get the chance. And he's about to go and get some water. Uishke, to go with the uishke behe, which of course Mandy means...
water vibe.
Right on, man. Nice one. And here he is back.
I mean, Nokas can be show us Mishale Ushke.
It Mishale Ushke, Hashingly Mishale Ushke. Or as I call it, the water in Scotland, Scotland juice.
Scotland juice. You've always called it that.
Yeah.
So we're going to add some water. Usually in distilleries, they advise you to put just a teardrop of water in it.
Yeah.
This is usually so they can sell you more whiskey. It's actually however you like it is right. Don't listen to any snobs. It's how you like it. So in the past in Scotland, what we used to do was substitute whiskey for wine because there are no grapes here. So at dinner, we would have a glass that was half and half whiskey and water, because you know you can't drink that with your dinner. You can't wash anything down with that.
No.
So that's what we used to do. And anyone else who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you whiskey. So
I have found that adding water just prolongs how long it takes you to consume all of the whiskey and the torture of it. So
you want to neck it, is what you're saying?
I tell you what, though, necking it is definitely off the menu.
Alright, yeah. That's definitely not the same what it means in America when you say we're necking.
Oh no, you would think that way the worst.
No, that's not what I think. I'm saying it's different.
Necking, I first read that in a Henry Miller novel, so that tells you everything you need to know.
Cool.
So what have we got here then?
So this is the Glengoyne, 10 years old. It is the lightest expression of Glengoyne as well. So I guess you better try some. We'll take a wee drop of water.
One of the people who like it, try it first.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to. I'm well familiar with that one. So you guys can try away and give me your opinions.
This doesn't play
too
well
much
for
bloody water in it.
But he was giving the face of like what you'd expect of like a wine connoisseur who's.
It's very
well,
light.
That's the thing. Until I realised I wasn't drinking wine, it's very, very light. I mean, to me, you know, it's like the equivalent of. I don't know, like when kids maybe try alcohol for the first time and they get a shandy, you know, like a half lager.
it's a Scottish shandy.
For me, in my disruptive 30s, you know, it doesn't quite cut the mustard.
That's exactly what I expected from you, because it's not your stuff at all. Yeah. So, who's next? Let's have a go.
Oh, you already went?
No,
oh,
she's...
Oh, no, you went first.
No, I didn't invite...
He's well familiar.
I did.
Your face is red.
It's not for him.
I want to try
he's,
some of that one without the water.
He's embarrassed by how non-whiskey that was, that he drank it, actually.
That is the lightest whiskey in Scotland. You love it? That is the lightest whiskey.
Oh,
you
knew that was coming, eh?
Why?
Because it's light.
Too light.
It's too light for me.
It is, isn't it? It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
You might just be able to
stomach drink it.
I was going to say, you might be well.
I would drink it in an emergency, right enough.
All right. It would work eventually.
Aye.
I feel like this is going to be low on my totem of emergency drinks.
Right. Go ahead.
All right, then. Nope.
Oh my goodness, what's she going to be like with the hard bag?
Apologies in advance.
No, it's fine.
There you go. That's
then.
For you. Yeah. You just start your dinner. Yeah, you go for it. You don't need a neck.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You can if you want.
And it's down in one.
I think that's the only way that I could drink whiskey is shooting it right now. No, it's called necking. Oh, sorry.
Can I make a request for the next dram, just so as I can taste it? What I consider
before
would be
water.
The optimum. It's not even so much before water.
You just
want to
like
literally
sprinkle it.
I know.
That's it.
That's the way I like
he
it.
Salt in your
literally
fingers.
Literally sprinkled water just, with his fingers. I really hope he washed his hands.
Oh, aye. I'm actually quite extreme about washing my hands. I'm not quite in the OCD level, but I'm a hand washer. Right. So that's
good to
it.
Know.
Just a drip. It's good to know when you're going to be drinking the fruits of my labels.
As it's not the fruits of your loins, we'll be cool. Right.
That's why I love this bugger. Right, let's have a go at it. This is the Aberlour.
This is Aberlour, 10 years old. It's sherried.
It's
sorry,
sherried,
I didn't describe it because I was too busy laughing at you necking that one. So what we have here is a sort of atypical Speyside. It is very, very sherried.
Uh-huh.
Sherry casks is matured in. It always is with Aberlour. And this is the sort of bottom end expression of it because they have quite a few, but it's still a great dram.
Yeah.
But it is very sherried and it's mostly what you taste.
Well, it's got enough of a sort of broad taste to it that I didn't consider it a Speyside.
Well, we had it. You had it in my house years ago.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Aye.
And
that sounds
you
like
came
a likely
same
story.
You came to the same conclusion.
Aye. Right. Okay. Let's do this then.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I have the same.
He's smiling.
He's slushing, we call that.
Oh, I tell you what, see, for a 10, that baby's got a velvet dressing gown on.
It's lovely. It's a lovely drop.
Isn't it just?
It's a lovely drop. Very civilised.
Yep.
Now, very civilised drop.
Can I tempt Andy to try this with just the sprinkle of water in it?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ginger, are you next up? That is a bit of a ginger dram, look at it. There
it is.
It is the reddest of the bunch. I like it.
Can I ask you to savour it on your tongue just a little longer? I see people are drinking it quite fast. I would tend to leave it hanging around just a little longer.
Also, once it goes down, just draw some air in through your teeth onto your tongue.
Mm.
You couldn't have given that direction before we started. You just wasted an entire dram.
Dude, I'm a
like
booze hound. I'm just winging this.
You told us you hired the best.
He did.
I did, but he couldn't make it.
I knocked him on the way.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's cute,
though.
Come on, missus.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
he's mewing in the fireplace.
How long do you want me to, like, keep this around?
Just a second, so that the actual alcohol thing burns off slightly and you get to taste the whiskey. That's the problem. People neck it and then all they get is alcohol straight up their nose. Leave it sitting a second.
Okay.
Leave it sitting. Just attempt to appreciate the flavours.
I'm like,
you know,
stop talking
no
or I'm never
going to
be able to get this in my mouth.
No, you're not, are you?
Oi!
Is there anything? Can you take anything laudable from it whatsoever?
I mean,
does it taste like sherry?
I don't know what that tastes like.
Ah, okay. That's a problem.
Well, clearly we need to get a dram of sherry over here so that I can compare. Okay.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah, dear.
It smells sweet like the last one did, but
yeah.
it's deceivingly aromatic because it doesn't taste like it smells.
It's like coffee.
Right. It's not the worst thing I've tasted. I have a feeling those are yet to come. But I would not sit and drink that. If that was my choice, that would not be my choice.
Oh, they're all my choice.
So far, I like them all.
I don't know who I'm kidding. Anyone like to neck it, as we say?
To neck it? Oh.
Are you sure? I mean, you have what you want. Or neck it. Whatever.
Share it.
I don't think you need to neck anything else. I'm good. Believe me, but when we get to the end, I'm not going to want to neck it.
Do you know, as much as it's, you know, but what I don't like about Speyside's is the way they shoot straight up to the top of your palate like a glove covered in pins. You know, it's just like, whoomph, you get punched in the top of the palate. I don't like that. It's sharp, it doesn't have any body.
It's a sharp alcohol taste. This is usually why I always put water on a Speyside. Almost always. My father will put almost 50% in to a Speyside.
Oh, really?
But not, won't do it with an Argyll or a Highland.
Okay.
It just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
You can, of course. Of course, yeah. Try it with water, by all means.
It could take a little spot more water without it actually depreciating too much. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, aye. Just to keep the sharpness down.
It does. It's almost like a different
water,
a different
smooths it out completely.
Yeah.
It's a
much better.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
If you're not seriously
going to
chug it?
For me, a dram should.
I'll try it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll try the tasting.
Try it and give us a descriptive difference between what it was like without water and what it's like with water, if you can.
Well, it's still whiskey. It still has the sharpness. However,
Aberlour will be pleased.
But it's less painful or less sharp as far as the sensation. Not pain like I'm going to die, but the sensation is less strong on my tongue when I leave it there with the water.
It's summer
and
ginger. And Mandy, if any of you are going to die, could you leave it till you get home? We don't want to have to fill out the paperwork.
Are you trying to warn me about something after I dump it? Look, dude.
I can't fill out forms. I'm allergic to them. It's just wait till
water,
you get home.
It literally took my breath.
Yeah,
the water, I could.
It did. You still liked it, but your eyes were watering.
Right. Yeah.
I was trying to hold it.
Yeah.
Breathe the air in. It's smoother.
Yeah.
It's smoother.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's what adding water does to it. That's what it's for. It's just to smooth it out. But that's why we do it. You know, it was never supposed to be consumed in this form, and it's a relatively recent phenomenon to drink whiskey neat because people can afford it.
Well, precisely.
I mean, when I was a kid, the only time you saw it in the house was when my father, who used to work for the distillery, used to work for one, the bigger ones, brought a couple of bottles home at Christmas or New Year. That was when you saw it, and it was, believe me, it was shared out. Yeah, it was a luxury.
It's I know it's on the sweeter end of the spectrum we have tonight. It makes it sweeter with the water. Painful, but less, like you said, less of the alcohol.
Yeah,
effect.
less caustic.
You can enjoy the sweetness more.
But what the water does, of course, is it separates out the tastes.
Yes.
It blends everything out. So do you know what I mean? So you're not getting as intense
sharp
a blast off it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is scientifically, it is a dilution, and it works like that on the tongue too.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you want that?
Yeah. Not yet. That ain't going nowhere.
So what I will say, though, is what is it, like 2 minutes, 2 minutes later, my mouth tastes like I just had a spoonful of honey.
Oh,
yeah.
Like later.
Nice.
That's an observation.
Nice. But that bodes well for the future, you know.
That's
that you may well keep one of these down eventually.
Do you want to try it with the water?
Yeah, it's smooth as ever.
Come on.
Come on. Moan is summer. Moan is summer.
We'll put even more in. because she's going to finish that anyway.
Oh,
no, she
okay.
Won't. Well, yeah, she oh, just that it could take longer.
Got, there's only you, like a.
Right, this is how my dad would take that.
Left
so
that
you'll be having
a
challenge. A Donald dram here.
I don't think she's going to finish it.
Okay.
Am I just necking it?
Give it a swirl.
Well, you be careful. I mean.
Don't fall over.
I won't fall over. All right.
Oh, it's orange squash. Get it down, you.
That easier. That doesn't even taste like whiskey.
I was supposed to say she didn't make a very
well. Oh, now
no,
we've knocked it off.
See what you can taste. Give us a.
I mean, I'm still getting that honey. The honey flavor.
Yeah.
At the end, the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So you should.
Okay, then, I did it right.
Well, you've got. It means you've got a palate on its way.
Woo-hoo!
Nicely done. So, the next one. Is another Speyside, but this is a classic Speyside. It is the Singleton of Dufftown. I don't know why it's called the Singleton. It's nothing to do with bachelors, I'm sure. But it is from Dufftown in Aberdeenshire. It is absolutely, completely typical of a Speyside. Ginger, you like Speyside, so you can lead the way with this one,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
Do.
If you want to take a wee sip first and then adjust it to your liking.
Can I just interject? This is the first time that I've ever actually spoken English with Seamus.
He's actually pretty good at it.
I've never actually even heard them speak English before. It's either Scots or Gaelic. So this is interesting for me, by the way.
That sound all right?
You're doing well keeping up the appearances.
I have to adopt a posture to kind of...
Yeah.
We bring the people together.
That's it.
And the language. Okay,
yeah.
So with that water.
So that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm happy straight.
Aye, you're happy straight?
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
As opposed to...
Gay.
Gay. I know, that's what I was thinking. Oh, wait, that's...
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably just the way it is.
Rock and roll.
Is it, really? I'm intrigued to...
Am I not supposed to like it? No, of course.
No, it's just...
Whatever way you like it is the way it should be.
You're saying you are a peat meister, so, you know, like myself, I was wondering how you would react to that, but okay, yeah.
That, so far, this is my favourite.
Okay.
Okay. Are you saying that's peaty?
No, exactly.
It's the opposite.
No, this is as I was saying, this is a classic peat malted, though. Peat malted.
Okay,
so Aberlour and the Singleton of Dufftown are both peat malted.
Nice.
So there is a light peatiness from them.
It smells peaty.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's lovely.
Let's know the price.
Also, I've had the equivalent of probably, well, no, I haven't had a shot, but I've had a little bit of whiskey, so...
You're doing well on it.
Oh, no, I do quite well on whiskey. She's getting what I call whiskey eyes. And her eyes start to get a little bit like, no. Okay, drink.
I'll like them.
All right.
Water.
You're swallowing it immediately, though.
I did not.
You did not?
I did not.
Okay, you left it half a second.
That went up my nose. That went literally up my nose.
Well, that's the
come out your tear ducts, and that's when you swallowed it.
But if you swallow it immediately, all you get is the alcohol shooting out the back of your nose.
I did not swallow it right away. She does not swallow.
Anything less than 4 seconds is swallowing immediately. Right. Giza blast it.
It tastes a little like burning, I'm not going to lie.
Right. So, what we have missed out is some good toasts before every dram.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was your job. You're fired.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm taking this with me. I'm taking this dram with me. I reckon the one for this particular dram would be Jock and Yola, Sheriff.
Yeah, Jock and Yola, Sheriff.
Yep. Literally, the drink of familiarity upon you. So let us know each other better. There we go.
But not too well.
No, well, I'll see how I feel about you after you've hit the dram, you know. That's never going to happen.
Had a what dram?
After this dram.
Oh. I can't really describe the face.
You're telling a story.
Did I just enjoy a space age?
You've just enjoyed two space sites.
Oh, I have.
Oh,
have. I've just enjoyed two spaces. But I knew I already enjoyed Aberlour. That was my secret one. But
you're turning in your
holy character. Smokes. Oh. Holy smokes. That was
that's
really, really nice.
It's a good
that
smooth
was lovely.
And you haven't added water yet?
Yeah.
Nice.
No, not a bit.
Do you know what? The difference between that and all the other ones is that actually hit every angle of my palate. It went all the way around. It was. And it's.
It's got an oiliness, a kind of mouthfeel.
It does. But do you know the thing I like about it actually is that, you know, it's got that kind of spiky sort of taste where it does attack your palate, but really, really, really relaxedly. Like it wants to be your friend. It ain't like Glenfiddich or something like that where it's, you know.
Oh. It's the bored hand job of drums.
Well, all that was a swallow. Careful.
Sorry,
I'll stop now. That's not my
dream.
I've had a little whiskey.
Yeah. That's sorry, I just realised that's recording it. Again, you can edit that bit.
Those were the first three drams, so perhaps at this point we shall interject with a wee break so you can have something to eat.
Sure. Does anyone want a neck
then? Ichi or your?
Michi.
Huh? It's not, it's her turn.
I'm here.
I am.
You haven't had any
yet. I like that.
Put me bacon, tulli, yeah.
Aye, fruity.
Dramatic.
Okay, so we're going to start again with a Tobermory, which is just another 10-year-old. We're going for the sort of most basic expressions of each one because some of the best drams are found that way. Tobermory, 10 years old, is from the Isle of Mull. It's an Argyll whiskey, but I think I think we're the only ones who hold that as a definition of a whiskey region. I think it is. I think it sort of stands on its own.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because Tobermory, Leithdeep, Jura, Oban, and all the Islay ones all have something in common. Yeah. I would suggest probably the Campbelltown ones as well. Springbank have a wee bit to do with it too. But as far as that's concerned, it is a lovely, lovely dram. It's a sweet dram. It's got good Highland peat in it as well, but it's not strong with peat. And I think you'll like it. I think you'll like that one, Ginger. You'll like it. You already know
you
it.
You may turn me on to something that's meaty.
Well, we're trying to build your palate up towards it.
Exactly. I do remember.
I don't know what we're doing with you. Getting you some tequila shots in a minute.
Yeah, basically we're building her resistance up to it. You know what I mean? By trying to break it down, we're building it up. I do remember enjoying this particular malt in 2003.
Well, it must have been good. That was a while ago
because
now.
Because I still remember it. Aye.
Right. No, it's a great malt and it's a good all-rounder. It's much like Jura in that it's everyone likes it who has it.
can the Argyll man lead off in this one?
I would say so. I think it should be should be done.
Nice.
Is there any significance to using your middle finger? He's flipping it off. He's like,
no, it is longest. It's easier to reach.
That's the mankiest one that needs cleaned in the water.
That's his probe.
There is nothing wrong with that drum. I can't pick a single fault in it.
I think that might be the most Scottish thing you've ever said.
No, if it was Scottish, it would be.
No bad.
No, if it was Scottish, it would be originally a hang bang with that drum. Or an old gas car in drum out. But oh, goodness me, aye. Gorgeous.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Right, Ginge.
So after on whiskey number four, just for podcast listeners, after whiskey or on whiskey number four, after number three, you can call me Jin.
Well, that's when the nicknames start.
There you go.
All right, just don't call her Minge.
Oh.
That's whiskey number six.
This does not bode well for me. The faces she's making.
This should have been a video.
You're going to be poleaxed. I can't wait. I can't wait for the airbag.
Santa Maria Putana.
It's very alcoholic.
And these water for
I
you
forgot,
then?
I forgot we didn't put water in it except for your little.
See,
after the Duff Town though, you were going to find that.
It's funny because you see, I just apart from the fact it's quite clearly alcohol and drinking, you know, I didn't get any kind of hint of it being like, you know, that nasty way where it shoots
abusively
up the back of your throat, your
and
nose,
and
or even, no, none of that
now
at
it's
all.
Right here. Right,
well, just savour it while it's there, you know.
I'm not gonna savour that. No, I like, but I'm interested.
You've been eating too, though.
I'm just interested to try it once we add water. Because the taste, I'm trying to say, okay, get rid of the sting.
I think this tin whale's gonna dig this, and it's gonna be right up her street.
The taste was nice once I could get past the alcohol.
Nice.
Man, dude, that got a thing. Whew.
It does tingle. I mean,
well,
it's very smooth.
Well, bear in mind, we're that's the way we're heading.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yep.
I quite like the flavor.
Are you saying my necking is done?
It should be.
With water. With water.
Oh, okay.
You'll
I could neck with water. Yeah.
You'll be necking.
Maybe it's going to neck you if you're sitting there like...
Definitely sharper than the lager. Yeah. It is sharper, yeah. But I do like the peat.
Yeah. It's just
like
slightly peated.
I want you to know that as I was standing at the bar collecting these, shouldn't I drink it the same as everyone else the first time?
Okay. All right.
As I was standing at the bar collecting these glasses, as she was looking for the third one that didn't exist, the aroma of it was starting to come out of the glasses, and I was like, that's not going to be fun. It's very, very, it was very smoky, very, very smoky coming out of the glass.
Listen. When you take that sip, just remember I'm not holding your hair out your face.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we're not going there.
Okay. Just a little sip. Keep it in your mouth. Let it burn. And then taste it.
All right. Are you going to count then?
It.
And then I'll swallow when you tell me it's okay?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Take a slug of your dram hen.
I don't know
who's this one. Are
you
done?
Okay,
sure. And swallow. It's the phrase of the night.
Okay, I'm going to need a minute.
Okay, I'm going to put a wee spot water in that,
okay,
and I'm going to hand it over again.
That's a lot of water.
It needs opening.
Have you tried it?
It needs opening up. Every other day.
Right, no, I'm not even... It'll be like a freaking joke. You know, honestly, it'll be like... I might as well not even go anywhere near it.
It's not your taste.
No.
Oh, really? I thought you liked it. You said
aye, but
he doesn't want it with water.
See, when it's watered down, it just destroys it. It breaks apart the whole substance of it for me.
For you.
Exactly.
Emphasis on the
for
you.
Oh, no, for me. For sure, yeah.
The one thing that should come out of this is there should be some sort of antidote to whiskey snobbery. It's what works for you.
For sure.
You know what works for me?
No
cider.
Whiskey.
Cider. Well, okay. I suspect that Dorset might be to your liking.
So, with the water, that one was... I could handle it more easily, obviously, because it wasn't so sharp. It wasn't so tingly. It's not burning anymore. I could tell there was that peatiness to it, but it wasn't overwhelming and it wasn't awful.
Yeah.
And I could taste some sweetness in it. So.
I think I like it better without the water.
Yeah,
that
it's lost something.
It tastes almost medicine-y.
Yeah, you got to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
I
how
it tastes like
to you, that's
water.
How it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's better.
This is the thing to remember is that when I first had my very first malt, it was a Laphroaig. So I started with the peatiest malt in the world and found it pretty full on and couldn't take it straight. So, you know, everyone builds up to the point where once you start enjoying the taste, you then want it with less and less water.
Yeah.
I remember up until about 6-7 years ago, I would always take it with at least some water, probably a little splash. And over time, it got to a stage where I didn't take it with water at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, I've overshot this a little bit, actually. I want to go back, and it would just be a little drop. And that's where I settled, but everyone settles in a different place, do you know what I mean?
I think the water actually made that worse.
Yeah, I liked it better without the water.
I liked it.
For me, the taste of malt is supreme in the Tobermory. It has more of an actual taste of the malt grain than almost anything else for me.
That's what that was.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And it's got that kind of chewiness and that kind of barn floorness.
Yeah.
It's something that I enjoy. It's something that I like. So,
it's quite gruff. Yeah.
You might as well.
No, that's yours. No. Garde l'Orie. Take your fill of it.
All right, now what did you bring over?
Okay, this is the Bunahavan. This is also one of the seven classic Isle of Malts.
Okay.
It is not particularly peaty, so we're trying to sort of keep it as sweet as we can.
Yeah.
It is the least peaty of the Isle of Malts, so the least parts per million of peat. So,
is it a true measurement?
On Laphroaig, you're talking something pretty close to fusel oil in terms of parts per million. So it's full on. It's the least full on of Islay, and it's a great malt as well. It's the most mainland of them, and it's probably more akin to Jura than anything else on Islay. So it's always worth a look.
It's got an interesting sort of flavour to it, though. I can't really relate it to any other Islay malts.
It's sherried.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. If you look at the colour as well, it's got that sort of amber.
Amber.
It's sherried. It's a sherried.
It's a ginger.
Yep, it's a ginger.
Yeah.
So I think because it's a ginger, you better
try it first.
Have a wee dram.
Excuse me.
A wee sniffed it.
Oh my god. That's like
it's rich. It's a rich malt.
That smells like candy.
My wife always says Christmas it smells cake. A little bit like that cream when you get a cup, you know, the
No, I'm listening.
Yeah. No, that's that one.
Germaline or...
you mentioned that. You said something like that.
Germaline, aye.
It's like germaline. Root beer.
Oh my gosh, that's nice. Can I have a small sip?
Of course, go for it.
That's why you were first. Okay. Smell is delicious. The taste at first is great. A moment later, the peat-ish kicks in. A tiny bit of burn, whatever it sticks to you. But the aftertaste, or whatever the term is, it's not peaty.
No.
I could do that.
It's a complex dram. There's a lot happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening. It has a good measure of peat, not too much. It has a sherry finish, and it's a pretty powerful dram as well.
I can't wait to try it with water, because it will, like, if it open it up more, I can't wait to taste it.
I'm not sure they've got it absolutely right.
Yeah.
May I be so bold to say?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure the balance of it is completely correct.
I think
you know?
One's going to be better with water.
Yeah. For me, always. Always.
Are you counting now? Okay.
Let's do this.
Right. My eyes are watering.
You ready?
I like to
hold back. Let it burn right on top of your tongue.
That's your theme music. You held that just a wee bit long.
That burned, like, my tongue immediately, it just burned.
Yeah, that was
holding it there, burned. Not like spicy burns, but just like, it was burning. But it tasted better when it was sitting in my mouth than it did once I swallowed it.
Exactly, that's what it's
like. I've got a bottle of this in the house, and I occasionally take a wee dram out of it, and it, of the Isle of Malts, it may be my least favourite. Because it's possibly just not Islay enough, you know.
I mean,
compared to the Tobermory, for me, it's not got the roundedness. It's jaggy. The flavours are all over the place. It doesn't blend well in my mouth, you know.
It's a malt that has to have water to make it happen, to strike the balance. Because there is a sharpness, but there are so many other things going on that you want to kill the sharpness to get to them.
Okay.
And that's what that does. And I would say, there's a wee drop of water.
So the moral of the story is, next time I take a dram, don't just put a drop in it, actually whack a wee bit of water in it. Yeah.
Drown
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
The more complex they are, the more you'll find that they benefit from water.
The
simpler they are. If you look at how we were with Glengoyne at the start, all it done was smooth something that was already pretty smooth. There's so much mileage in that where you get bored of it. With that, it just makes that difference, and the amount of water you put in is really up to yourself, but it hugely benefits from it.
Is it clean water? I didn't see. Okay. Oh, it smells. It doesn't smell like. Am I wrong? I feel like a caramel-ish.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would completely agree with that.
And it's even better with water.
Yeah, I would say so.
Smoother. Oh my god, I like that.
It is, but it's got that
it doesn't hurt, it doesn't kick as much.
Yeah, it's got a kind of mince pie sort of thing going for it, Christmas cake sort of thing going.
Yeah.
It does.
Like a spice, but not a strong.
Yeah, well, exactly
not
spice.
Not a strong spice.
Yeah.
Not pepper, but more sweet.
I have to be honest, I don't really like it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite is still number 3.
Almost like cloves.
Am I killing this, or are you going
to
do it?
No. You take a sip. Teeth is any better.
Just off-putting about it for me. Yeah. The Tobermory, that was just... Oh, that was just beautiful. So.
Sorry, that just went, like, right down there.
Ah, that's how it goes.
We are now on to...
Last one.
Our sixth and final one, which is... The absolute epitome for me of an Isle of Malt is everything that an Isle of Malt should be, and the only one I prefer to is Lagavulin. Which, in my opinion, is the greatest thing ever distilled.
Especially the 16, that's the one.
This is my wife's favourite. She thinks Lagavulin doesn't even come close to it.
Wow.
So we're going to give it a go. It's actually got the most peat.
Wow.
With the exception of one of the Lefroy expressions, it does.
Really?
However, it is not medicinal.
It's not.
It is actually a sweet dram, it will taste powerful without water. So you might as well have it without water. Experience the full thing. We'll do the same thing we've been doing. This is Ardbeg. This is Ardbeg.
Ardbeg is literally the small sort of high outcrop. You know, like a Arst is
like Ardbeg.
Yeah, Arst is like just a high point of land, like a rocky outcrop. Ardbeg is the small rocky outcrop. Okay. So I have no idea what kind of connection
that has. Exactly where the distillery is situated.
That'll be it then.
Yep.
Nishir. Or Sinshaw, here in Bacorgun, Rutigan Ala Horse Shaker. What kind of toast will we give for this one?
We have to give a Glasgow toast then. Since we're here, or at least a Lennox toast.
All right, go on then. What's the Lennox toast?
Game ni cool.
Oh, game ni cool.
Game ni cool.
Good jam.
Long be your coos moo.
Yeah. And the history behind that is?
It was about from cattle raiding. So basically we had a situation in the hills back there where Highlanders were coming out to the lowlands to procure cattle illegally. Sons of bitches. And they would take them away. And
we were those Highlanders.
they would steal the cattle and... That's where it came from. So it was a celebration of the wonder that is a cow. Hey. You got to remember, they were easy pleased.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot going on, and there was almost no TV.
Almost.
Basically, the thought was that if your cow was gamnish, which means lowing, if your cow was moaning the face off you, then that meant it was missing its home, which meant that you'd done a good job. So it's a roundabout way of saying good job.
Another thing was as well, you could hear it, so you knew it hadn't been stolen back.
Yeah, this is true.
It's very practical.
It is. Yeah. It always was.
Straight, of course, is just perfect for me. But I can't imagine, I can only imagine you having to loose it out a little bit to get your enjoyment from it. But passing it clockwise round the table as we have been, we are now going northwest to Incheroa, Ginger.
Are you effing with us?
Aye.
No, drinking.
He's not making it back.
No, aye.
We gone song. F with y'all all night.
Oh, hello. It may not be medicinal, but it's full on
paint.
Mm.
It is.
Oh,
it's lovely.
It's rammed full.
It's great.
Like I said, that's probably what was coming out of the glass at me. That's exactly
what's coming out of the glass.
Let's do it.
Keep it on your tongue. Keep it in your tongue. Keep it in your tongue. Let it sit.
Let it burn. Hold it.
Yeah. Yeah, let
is
it
this
even
what it's
out.
Like watching me?
Okay, take it back slow, don't knock it back, just swallow it slow. And then breathe in once you've swallowed it.
Through the mouth.
Do it.
Breathe in through the mouth. Good breath in through the mouth.
You just shoved a peat bomb down my mouth.
That's why I'm here.
Oh my god!
Summer's not gonna make it. She's not gonna get it to her nose.
You're gonna like it.
Well, that means her steak fries are fair game.
Even the breathing
even
in my mouth.
It's hard.
Oh, you know what? I just had in my mouth. It's We were at the Living Highlands Museum.
The peat fire.
Yeah, Newton Moore.
Peat fire in my head.
Where they filmed, right?
It's the smoke. Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah.
Wow. Manny has a good poke.
Eyes are watering. That's a good sign.
No, but she's a really good poke.
No, it's so up your street. So up your street. Yeah.
I'd make a bad.
It's a great.
It's the best part of a peat fire without having to wash my hair before I go to bed.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's just spill it on your hair.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I can't sleep with my hair smelling.
Oh my goodness.
Literally touch it to your lips. You don't even need to take it really
I can smell it right here.
Yeah.
I don't even need to have this anywhere near my face.
Gosh.
See, I don't get it.
I've already said this is a disclaimer that I want recorded. We've already said we're not filling out the paperwork. If you die, it's no fault of ours. You came here, you knew the consequences, you signed the disclaimer forms, it's all done.
Alright. Are you counting it off for me?
I'll count it off for you. Nisha. Shoot the guy, shoot. Ga.
Wait.
Oh, Prushuk. Get it, do your hand.
Literally, just a tiny stop.
Coke. Keher. Tree.
Yeah.
Ehun. Nyoni. Sluka. Sluka. Hey! Yup! Yup!
I should see what the water does.
Any more games?
Shoot the volley. Drink the dregs, boy. Lovely, isn't it?
It's bloody lovely.
That's better than LaFroy.
By a mile. Yes.
I feel like I'm going to be tasting that for the next 3 days.
And well, listen, Summer, the word you're looking for is tangled.
That's a cheap flight home.
Yeah, well, this is where you don't get breathalyzed at the airport. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hey, Hamish. Time Borgo, Shira. Ma I guess. Nisha the Riesha, we shall do it again.
Yes, are you on for next year?
Oh, aye. Without doubt.
Excellent. And we'll have six or more new ones.
And what was lost?
That was Ardbeg.
Ardbeg translates to Ginger will never have that again.
I like this.
No, that's good. We'll call it
Ardbeg.
Seriously, the two out of the first one, it's definitely the Singleton of Dubtown. And
aye.
Out of that one.
That Singleton was.
She's a West Coast day like us.
All right, for me, Toba Mori and Ardbeg.
I mean, I'm seriously, when I drive to Glenshiel and go down that area, that's where my hair on my arms stands up. So.
Right. Okay, that's the place.
If we're talking about Glenshiel, we're talking about Jacobite Rebellions, we're talking about season 2 kicking off, all that stuff. We can only end with one toast for our next beer down the road at Angelavin, the weekly Gaelic culture night. And that is Hulala Achis Nachich Gebrach Slanjava.
I can still taste it.
Which one?
All of it. You know what was so funny, though, was when we tried the first one and I was like, nope, I don't like it. And then all of a sudden they were like, she's really going to hate that last one then. She didn't like the first one. Because he stacked them strategically to go from the nicer, lighter ones to the really peaty, ashy, yucky ones at the end to kind of give us the full spectrum. So when I didn't like the first one, he was like, oh, this is not going to end well.
Not going to end well, exactly.
But it was fun. I had such a good time and they were amazing.
So, thank you so much for listening, as always. We, at this moment, are still wondering what we'll bring you next week. We know. Next week, we'll bring you the next installment, and it won't be our last, of Pod Abroad. Which is taking...
It's like, you know, the actual Pod Abroad recordings are taking just about as long as the actual trip did. Which, you know, it's kind of like being there, so, you know...
I mean, it just takes a lot of issues behind this, but, we hope you enjoy it. We've gotten some positive... Mostly, no, we've gotten all positive feedback, and you enjoy listening to our chatter about the trip, but... Thank you for hanging in with us. Maybe by the end of the summer, you'll know about the whole trip.
Oh, my gosh.
Because at this point, one day, although albeit very long days, it's taking about an hour to an hour and a half to record before editing.
Yeah. The last one we did, we got through one night. One day. One full day.
In about an hour.
In about an hour until we had to call it. So.
Yeah. So that's all right, though. We will eventually bring it all to you. So thank you again for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.